RadioMD.com. A daily dose of Melanie means a daily dose of health. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Are you somebody who avoids conflict? As I said in the teaser, my husband likes to avoid conflict. I go after him about his credit card or something, and he doesn't want to discuss it, and he looks the other way, doesn't want to talk about it. So is conflict good for you? Does it raise cortisol levels? Is it bad for you? My guest today is Dr. Carl Greer. He's a practicing clinical psychologist. Dr. Greer, is conflict sometimes good and sometimes bad?
I think conflict is inevitable. But I think the way in which we handle it can be good, better, best. And I think if we avoid it, you can do some harm to yourself physically and psychologically.
Well, I'm the sort of person that I don't know that I thrive on it necessarily, but I feel like once I get the conflict resolved, I can move on to something else. And so it eats away at me until I've gotten it resolved. Whereas some people I know are just the opposite. They don't want to think about it, and they shove it back to the back of their mind. So what is that doing to us, and should we look at our unconscious mind and say, well, it's still back there sort of eating away at us a little bit?
I think that's a good metaphor, eating us away. I think if we want to bring something up but are afraid to, the fact that we don't can kind of keep eating at us. And as you said, it can raise our cortisol levels, it can stress us out, weaken our immune system, and bring us down. But we don't do it oftentimes, Melanie, I have found, because we're afraid of the consequences. We're afraid that if we bring something up, somebody's going to leave us or hurt us or say something mean to us. And so we avoid it, and we lose then the opportunity to grow and learn from that interchange with the other, and oftentimes get much greater intimacy if you can hang in there and talk about a tough subject.
How do you do that? How do you talk about this tough subject? If you're with somebody who doesn't want to talk about it, how do you bring it up and not let anger and, you know, tensions flare and emotions get involved? How do you resolve a conflict in a productive way?
Yeah, well, I think somebody has to bring it up. And let's say you with your husband, he doesn't want to bring it up. But, I don't know his name, but let's say I'll make up Bob.
Oh, you can say Gary. It's fine.
All right,
everyone
Gary,
knows my husband's name.
Gary, you know, something's been bothering me. I'd like to talk to you about it. I want to pick a time that you're open to talking about it. How about such and such a time? And let's say he says, okay, you know, Melanie, we'll do it. Or let's say he says, gee, I really don't want to get into it, Melanie. Then you say, well, you know, that bothers me, Gary, because I'd like to do this, that, and the other. I can't make you do it, but I really would appreciate it if you could take some time and just hear me out. And then the lessons are allow yourself to be heard, allow him to say what he has to say without, and this is the tough part, reacting and saying, oh, you're wrong, or, you know, this, that, and the other, and attacking each other. So it requires a certain calmness to do it, a certain willingness to confront some uncomfortable feelings, but I have found in general when people do it, there's a big payoff, Melanie.
Yeah, and I hope the listeners are not judging me. My show, my therapy. And when I have guys like you on, it's so great to be able to go over these things, but I think they apply to so many of us. What about conflicts with somebody maybe you're not as comfortable with, like a boss or an employer? This is not my therapy here, but if you have a conflict with an employer, you have to discuss it a little bit differently because you don't want to offend or you don't want to get in trouble. So how do you adjust to those kinds of things?
Or let's say you're a woman in an abusive relationship where your husband gets mad and hits you. I think you have to have a certain street smarts about when to bring it up. Let's go to your example of the boss. If you have a hair trigger boss that if you bring up something that's bothering you in the workplace and you're afraid he's going to fire you, well, that's a real dilemma. It may cause one to step back and say, is the price of staying in this job with those circumstances where I feel under stress all the time worth the paycheck? Am I better off to start looking? I mean, it can cause you to, you know, start thinking of other ways to get out of the conflictual situation. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it doesn't always serve a person to bring up what's on their mind in the moment, but they have a certain amount of flexibility about thinking about it, instead of saying to yourself, I'll never bring it up or I'm always going to confront, I think, conservative person.
I think it can, too. And once we resolve that conflict, it feels more freeing. It feels just a little bit better for us. So are some people addicted to conflict? Do some people look for confrontations and problems all the time? High drama people?
I think that's true. I mean, I think there's some people who just avoid conflict at any cost. Some people, I'm guessing, like you said, you don't necessarily like it, but you're willing to get into it because you think it's good to clear the air. And there's some people who just seek it out. And there, I don't know if they seek it out to resolve it, but they seek it out to, as you said, have the drama in their life. You know, they have the always be fighting with somebody. I know people who thrive on fighting with everybody, from kids to spouses to friends to people who deliver stuff to their house.
Yeah, no, that's true. I know people like that. So give us some of your best tips. What do you tell people? So you started off with getting a time frame for discussing it, maybe knowing the proper time to even bring it up if it's somebody who might be abusive or something like that. Give us some other tips that you use, Dr. Greer, to help people, and then tell us about your book.
Well, a couple of things that I find useful. If we go tap into our unconscious and I talk about that in my book by working with your dreams or as process dialoguing. A quick example would be if you're afraid of talking to somebody about a conflictual situation, just allow yourself to be still and see if there is some image that comes to you that represents that fear. Then I have a process where you're talking about it and to yourself with the fear. The fear has a voice. And you may learn that it has to do with being shamed as a kid for having ideas that aren't very good. And if you can learn to get away from that fear because you say, hey, that was 35 years ago, it doesn't really apply now, even though I seem to react as if it does, that's a big thing. And it's a process. The other thing, spend some time in nature where you allow yourself to be part of the larger picture and then be open to letting nature give you some insights that are going to stimulate your unconscious mind as to how you can deal with that conflict. So that you see that it's a bigger set of, you're part of a larger picture than the stuff that just is festering all the time. It gets you into the questions, Melanie, of, you know, where was I before I was in this lifetime? Why am I here? Who am I? Where am I going to be when I'm no longer here? And you see you're part of a lot of natural cycles. And it's been amazing people that have tried this, that have gotten insights that have helped them relativize and deal with their conflict that they wouldn't have had they didn't spend time, by a tree or running water or in the wind.
Yeah, so that's really great advice. And now you have a book, Change Your Story, Change Your Life. Tell us about that. We only have less than a minute left.
It's a book for people who are dissatisfied with the life they're living, and it tells some ways to engage the story that they have. It tells some ways to bring into being their new story and getting into some of the reasons why, even though they like to have a new story, they've not been able to. And then I talk about the unconscious reasons that we often don't make changes and ways using shamanic and Jungian techniques like dream work or journey work or shamanic journey, being in nature, ceremony, and ritual to help you get the energy and the insights to make changes that heretofore you've not been able to make. Book's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. My publisher was Findhorn Press. I have a Facebook page, and I have
a website.
Internet website, carlgreer.com.
Thank you so much for being with us. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay tuned and stay well.